This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Joe Spano.
Well, Kawhi Leonard is a Raptor. DeMar DeRozan is a Spurt. So is Jakob Poeltl. Let's break it down from a Spurs perspective with J.R. Wilco from PoundingTheRock.com. It's SB Nation's San Antonio Spurs blog site. J.R., welcome back to the program. It's always great to talk to you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I guess the place I have to start in looking at this trade, you traded again. We all understand that Kawhi didn't want to be here anymore, but the realities are you traded a, when healthy, top five player in the NBA, and amongst those top five players, maybe the best defender of those truly elite players. And what you got back was a top 25 player, a marginal role player to come off your bench, and not much else. And, you know, the trade looks a little lopsided in favor of the Raptors, even if Kawhi leaves after 1 year, because DeRozan's a star, but out, you know, it's him and Aldridge as stars, no superstars, and a bunch of role players, and it doesn't look like near enough for the Spurs.
I guess the only thing that it's more than is nothing, right? So the Spurs were staring down the barrel of losing him outright. And I guess it was an open question whether you would even play this coming year. You got to expect that there was some kind of communication between between Kawhi and the club during the summer. And look, I can't tell you that I'm overly excited about the overall haul, but if there's ever been a community guy, a high character guy that's going to fit in San Antonio, DeRozan's got that in spades. And then, you know, with the Jakob Poeltl, you know, we'll see what. At this point, I think his floor is Thiago Splitter. I think his ceiling is yet to be discovered. So it's one of those things that's going to be difficult to judge early on, as a lot of trades are. I don't know that even if Kawhi leaves after 1 year, it's still lopsided. That was really why the Spurs couldn't get anything more from him, because Kawhi's group was so strident and so repetitive. We don't want to go anywhere. We don't want to go anywhere else, which is crazy because they wanted out of San Antonio. So you'd think that if they just would shut up and say nothing, they would get dealt faster, because the Spurs obviously didn't want to trade him for anything less, and they had to.
Well, again, and let's dive a little deeper into this. I can make the case, and maybe I'm off base here, that the Spurs would have been better off forcing Kawhi Leonard to stay here. In all reality, unless he could find a way to prove he was hurt, he was going to play, because he would have forfeited a bunch of money by not playing, and he also would have forfeited service time, which meant he would have never gotten out of here. So the realities are he would have been unhappy, but he would have played. He would have left, and you would have cleared up that salary cap space, as opposed to taking on a DeMar DeRozan and his longer contract, which, while in today's NBA economics, is not necessarily a bad contract, but stars as opposed to superstars get you nowhere, especially in the West. And DeRozan has proven over the years to be a less than great postseason player, as we've seen by the results with him and Lowry in Toronto. So, again, I could make the case, while he's a good guy, the numbers look good, and he is a star as opposed to a superstar, I can make the case that the Spurs would have been better off forcing Kawhi to play. He plays this year, then he leaves, and you get the cap space back, and you go sign a superstar of your own choosing with the money you now have available.
Look, on paper, I 100% agree with you. There's no doubt that grabbing a guy that might not get you where you want to be, but is just a good guy, you're paying great guy money, and DeRozan's definitely a good guy. But the Spurs are an interesting bucket of fish, man. If a player says they don't want to play there, they don't play there. They don't want them there if they don't want to be there. It's not like they're gonna locker room cohesiveness is such a priority in San Antonio. You got to have all the guys pulling together. If they're not going to all pull together, then the guy's gone. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, anybody says they want to go someplace, they try and get them to that place, or they're not going to keep them. And then the third thing is, you know, it's hard to, or how about this? It's easy to forget that one of the knocks on LaMarcus Aldridge when he came to San Antonio was he couldn't play defense. So things happen. You know, players turn into other players when they get into the Spurs system. And it's not because the Spurs system forces them into something. It's because the Spurs system changes to take into account their unique gifts while also analyzing them in a way that maximizes the things that they do. So I fully expect DeMar to be a more efficient mid-range shooter than he's been before, because the Spurs are going to analyze it and say, you don't shoot from here and you don't shoot from here anymore. You like these shots? They're lower efficiency shots for you. I wouldn't be surprised if he was an above league average defender this coming year, because the Spurs are able to plug guys in and say, hey, we're going to give you this little bit of more training, and we're going to do things a little bit different like this, and we're going to have the other guys back you up and, you know, do the things that you aren't good at. So they bolster the inefficiencies and the ineffectiveness of the guys that they bring in. And so DeMar's not going to be just DeMar. He's continually bringing new things to his game anyway. But they were in such a tough position to get anything back for Kawhi. And I think the decision was made that they just weren't going to continue through another season with this whole thing hanging over their heads. They were going to deal with it this off season. It was the best offer that they expected to get this summer, and so they pulled the trigger.
Gerald Wilco, Pounding the Rock, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. We're breaking down the San Antonio Spurs Toronto Raptors big trade that brought DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio and sent Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. Now, I'll ask this. I mean, there's no questioning the coaching acumen of Greg Popovich. And one of the things that makes him special is what you alluded to, not a systems coach. I will coach the personnel I have and make it fit, make it work, as opposed to trying to fit square pegs in round holes. But the realities are Greg Popovich is 69 years old. Is part of the motivation of this deal because he'd at least like the Spurs to be relevant and competitive now, as opposed to having to suffer through a rebuilding project? Because the realities are, we all know one thing in the NBA. There's two ways that you ultimately win. You're either good enough to win now, or if you're not good enough to win now, you better get really bad for a few years so you ultimately can be good enough to win. And when I look at this roster with two stars in DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, we both agree neither is a superstar, and some very, very good role players, a premium coach, and, you know, a front office that will do everything it can to help and bring in additional pieces. But in all reality, what the Spurs are going to be for these next couple of years with Pop there with this group is a 47-52 win team that doesn't go any further than the second round out west and is not a real contender for a championship. That's no man's land in basketball. Whereas if you're taking my approach, well, hey, he leaves. We got money. We can either sign somebody or bottom out, strip it down, and 3 or 4 years down the road, we're actually good again. You know, trust the process, part two.
Look, you're not wrong. I was even last week talking about how the cap space is not nothing. And I was dealing with a number of comments, right, online and whatnot, people saying you can't let Kawhi go for nothing. You can't just let him go. And I'm like, the cap space isn't nothing. So I understand what you're saying. It's just not the way that the Spurs do business. When Pop had his presser after the trade, he directly spoke to the idea of rejecting a rebuild. He's like, We're continually building, we're continually rebuilding, and the desire of the club is to always remain relevant. So the whole crashing out the whole, you know, not necessarily tanking, but, you know, just going young and letting whatever wins pile up happen is just not something that the organization has any kind of an appetite for. And so it honestly doesn't cross their mind. They see what you're saying and the way that you're evaluating the talent of the team and their win totals. I'm with you on it. Of course, that assumes that DeJounte Murray doesn't develop, right? Because that assumes that the guys that they have, you know, that they've been bringing along, you know, Derek White is a non-entity in the NBA. He was killing it in the G League. I'm not saying that killing it in the G League becomes killing it in the NBA, but I don't even want to see the guy out of the G League unless he's down there in the Spurs Austin affiliate destroying guys. And he's getting 35, 40 points a night in the G League. It's time to see what he can do in the big leagues. And so he's gonna get some significant time this year. And those guys are continually developing. So they've got this system of bringing guys through where they always have somebody in the hopper, as it were. And so instead of thinking, hey, we got to go out and get somebody, they've already got the somebodies that they're expecting to be able to have in 2 or 3 years. And LaMarcus's production drops off, and as DeRozan ages as well. And the other thing that we didn't talk about is the fact that not a whole lot of free agents come to San Antonio. The only one they've had in the entire 20-plus year Popovich reign is LaMarcus. So you can say, hey, let's clear cap space and bring guys in. That doesn't always work. You know, the Mavs did that a number of times and just wound up being really bad and paying through the nose for guys that weren't worth it because the free agents that they were gunning for didn't come.
That's a fair point. So I guess to kind of tie this up, this direction is not motivated by Greg Popovich not wanting to suffer through anything. This is at the expense of the franchise that he's worked for and run for 2 decades. This is just an organizational philosophy. I just want to get that clear. This is not something motivated by any kind of selfishness with Greg Popovich, where he put himself ahead of this organization in the future after he's gone.
I get that is 100% correct reading of the way that the way that he stated things in the press conference just this week, and he also stated that he's not like there were some rumors that when he moved over to coach the national team for the Olympics that he would be leaving the Spurs. He's like, I've got no plans to leave. I'm going to keep on doing this as long as the guys let me coach them, and as long as it's fun for them, and as long as it's fun for me, I'm going to keep on going. And it's not like we were concerned as fans wondering where this was going and what his appetite would be for coaching after the death of his wife Erin, and you know, to come back and for those first presser after that, for him to essentially rededicate himself to doing what he does. The question at this point is, how long can he keep doing at a high level? And like, there has never been any coach that's aged. No elite coach has aged as well as Popovich as far as winning percentage in their latter years. They almost always fall off. So he's proving himself elite in yet another category.
JR, great stuff, great insight, an interesting back and forth on the Spurs. I think the future is going to be mildly interesting as far as how this all shakes out. And, of course, when we need to talk Spurs, we'll be reaching out to you. Great stuff. Really do appreciate it.
Appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye now. JR Wilco, PoundingTheRock.com, breaking it all down here on SB Nation Radio. Up next, when we come back, we'll stay with some Major League Baseball. We got to get to Strasburg versus Scherzer. We got to get to the MLB trade rumor mill. All that more next on SB Nation Radio. Join in at 800-777-2907 or on Twitter at Joe Spano 56. But most importantly, be sure to keep it where it is.